I've been praying that what I say and how I live my life would be acceptable to God. Today, we are still in the series out of Colossians called The All-Sufficiency of Christ for His Church and for us as individuals. Today we're going to look at the title, Let the World Be Dead to You. I want to take a look at practical life. The practical life of a Christian and what the difference is between the truth and deception of false teachers. There are 3 points I want you to look at. First, I think it's clear that the basis of all our freedom and truth comes from the person and the work of Jesus Christ that's found right here in the Word. Don't live like the world does, because you will never find true freedom. You will never find true freedom in Christ through these rules and laws that come from this old world full of selfishness and full of wickedness. You will never find truth in the worldly way of living because there is no truth there. Jesus said clearly, I am the truth. Folks today, and those who lived in Paul's day, were often living under a bondage of rules. Rules that gave restrictions on how to live the right way. And those rules were made by man. Those rules were rules and philosophies of men. Some people lived under religious rules to get to their God and to make sure that the works that they did pleased Him. For the Jewish religion, God had already given guidelines right here in His Word and the laws for them to actually worship Him and to be able to follow Him in their life. And that knowing that they could accomplish only a part of this because they could not completely know what God wanted them to do until the day that the Messiah came. These things that are in this Word that the Jews did were the things that brought them as close as they could get to the Father, but they were not able to do so because Jesus Christ had not yet come. And when Christ came, all things were made clear in Him. He was the Messiah. One of the great themes that Paul is always writing about is freedom in the gospel through the faith of Jesus Christ that you might have. And when writing this Colossians letter, he came across the difficulties that they were having because of all the restrictions that were coming to true faith and the practice of Christianity in the town of Colossae. I want to tell you, friend, that today you are free in Christ. When you give your heart to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you are free and nobody can take that away from you. The only thing that can happen is that you may very well give up some of your own freedom by the way you believe and live. You're free because Jesus has set you free. But because you have the right to believe the way you want, and God is not dictated by His hand and pushed you this way and that way, you may very well, by believing some false theology or false philosophy or some kind of a false teacher, you may very well give away some of your freedom that God so desperately worked to give to you by Christ's death. The second thing I want to talk about is that Paul speaks of the bondage of legalism found in this community in Colossae. Now, this bondage has its true origin in Satan. No, make no mistake about it. He will do anything he can. He will use any method that he can to get his hands on an individual Christian. Because if he gets a hand on an individual Christian, he begins to tear them down, and then they, who are a part of the church gets torn down too. So if he can get individual Christians to go the wrong way, to believe the wrong things, to change the way the Scripture says it should be, then the church can fall. And his greatest desire is that Jesus Christ's church not mean anything to the world. And if you fall, then the church falls. So in essence, if we become in bondage to these false teachings and philosophies, believers are caging their victory in Christ. Now, I believe Christians, we have to leave the world. Now, you live in the world. I live in the world. But you have to leave the world's philosophies and religions and their thoughts to be able to live like Christ. You see, we have to be dead to the worldview. You see, there's a worldview and then there's a biblical view of life. And I want to tell you out there, those of you that are still in school, whether college or young people or whatever, you're going to hear the worldview all the time. And if you happen to be among people who are trying to teach things, they're going to probably teach it from the worldview. We have a biblical view, and when you start talking about the biblical view, people will say, you're narrow-minded, you don't have anything for me to hear. Because you don't believe in diversity, you don't believe in openness, you don't believe in any of the things that the world believes in. And you're right, I don't. I am very narrow-minded. I am biblically minded. It's at least I seek to be. So my biblical worldview is different. It provides life and faith for me. It provides an opportunity for me to truly know who Jesus is and live by the principles of Christ every day. The worldview is full of compromise. You listen. It's full of compromise and false teaching. And that teaching will lead to death for those who follow it. Now, if perchance these false teachings influence you, you may very well lose influence in the Christian family, lose favor among Christians. But in some cases, I will tell you that the church has been messed up. And they honor false theology. And if you don't feel like that, then you're not a part of that group. I've come today to believe that if your fellowship is more towards the world than towards Jesus Christ, then there's a problem in your life. I'm saying this as kind as I possibly can because Paul, in this passage of Scripture we're going to read in just a moment, says it is so important to understand the difference between following false teaching and false philosophy and false religion. You must know the difference. And you must be able to break the ties of that sin bondage that you may have once known or you now have come in to be a part of. You must be careful about what you follow. So I want to look at the Scripture today. It comes out of Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 23. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility
and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, for whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you have died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Folks, that is a passage of Scripture that Paul speaks very strongly about how you are to live and what you're to follow. And most of it, to be quite frank with you, is negative. Very much so. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this passage of Scripture and what Paul is trying to say to us, because I believe with all of my heart that he has something to say to North Anderson Baptist Church. When it comes to religion, there's always somebody who'll judge you by what they think is right. Because if you don't do like they do, you're going to be criticized and judged by their standards. People want to place a yoke of bondage around you. They want you to do what they say must be done. And this is one of the ways they can keep you in line, or they can measure your obedience by making sure you fit the pattern of what they do. Part of what Paul is talking about has to do with the Jewish laws and the special days of the calendar that the people at Colossians were trying to, the Jewish folks there in Colossians were trying to have them follow. You see, the special days and the calendar and all the festivals and all were to be a part of the Jewish worship. And that's important that you understand that, because everything that they did as a Jew pushed them to understand God as best they could. But remember what I said earlier. They only could do it so much until the Messiah came. And then he revealed everything. Some of the people were so-called Jewish Christians. And so-called Jewish Christians there wanted to make sure that you had to follow all the Jewish laws and all the Jewish things before you could become a Christian. Now, he talks about that many times in the letters that he writes. That is a false way to go. You and I are Gentiles. We don't understand that. But if we were Jews at that time and we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, some people would say, no, you can't be a Christian until you do everything the Jews say you're supposed to do. You have to be circumcised. You have to go to temple. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do this. You have to do that. Then you can be a Christian. Paul is very, very clear about this. The law does not trump grace. It is very clear that you are free from the law when it comes to the part of being a Christian. But you can, and this is what he was talking about, you can put yourself back under bondage by following some of that. And people do that on a regular basis. Verse 17, listen to what it says. This is a great verse. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So when we talk about what is true, we talk about what is in Christ. God says here that the worship practices that they had were just a shadow, a picture of what was coming. One writer said it was like the negative. You couldn't see everything just the right way because the picture comes in Christ. The shadow is the negative, and the real picture comes when the Messiah comes. And God says that's what is really true.
John 1:17 says this, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You see, the Bible tells us that the law was a schoolmaster. And a schoolmaster is a person who takes people, kids, and teaches them the things that they need to know. That's what the law was all about, teaching as much as they could about what God wanted them to know. But when Jesus Christ the Messiah came, a schoolmaster wasn't necessary. Because Jesus showed us what to do. He told us what to do. He led us. He gave to us the way in which we are to live. And it was to leave that which were laws and other kinds of things that said you had to do this and you had to do that. And He gave to us an opportunity to know that Jesus was the way. Listen to this. Before coming, the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now this faith has come. We are no longer under the guardian. So in Jesus Christ, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. You do not have to be a Jew before you become God's child. You have been given everything in God through Jesus Christ. I can hear somebody say then, is the law relevant now? You know, is it important now? It still has a lot to say. One of the things it has to say is about the holiness of God. The next thing it has to say is it reveals sin. Without question, the law warns us of the consequences of sin. But the interesting thing, it has no power to prevent that sin. It has no power to redeem a sinner. It is only grace that can do that. The law cannot do anything, but it does reveal Jesus. Listen to Luke 24:27. It's a great passage. The context of this passage is the two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus had just died and then rose from the dead that Sunday. These disciples were discouraged. They thought somebody had stole the body. They had not heard that He had been raised from the dead. So they were walking home to Emmaus, approximately 8 miles, and they were walking and they were discussing how in the world could this ever happen. And Jesus walks up next to them. They don't recognize Him. Maybe their sorrow, whatever it is. We don't know why. But He walks with them all the way, and here's what He says, what Luke says about this. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He," Jesus, "explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Him." You see, the Old Testament gave a shadow, gave a picture of Christ, but it could not be revealed completely until Jesus came. And so He used all that scripture that they knew. See, they didn't have this Bible. They only had the Old Testament. And so He took the Old Testament and told them what Jesus was supposed to be and who He was. And then you know the story. They got to the house. They had lunch together, and He broke the bread, and boom, He was gone. And they recognized who He was. So the law reveals Christ. So why do we need the law? 1 Timothy tells us this. He says in 1 Timothy 1:8, that is, Paul says, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly." If you use the Word of God, the law of God in the Old Testament properly, then it will make a lot of difference to you. Then Paul goes on to describe these false leaders and the false teachers in the next couple of verses. And they would seek to disqualify you from the prize, the Bible says. I think that prize that Paul is talking about is the real freedom that we get when we have Jesus. And see, they can disqualify that real freedom if you follow their ideas. If you are willing to submit to their bondage, their chains. But God says there's a freedom. And I think it might very well also be the prize would be the blessings that flow into a Christian's life because we are obedient to Jesus. What a great blessing that is when we worship Him in truth and in spirit. Paul wants to help these Christians in Colossae so much. And he's also wanting to help us. So he tells us to beware of those people who have false humility. They're very proud of their humility. That goes together, right? Man, I'm so proud, I'm humble. That just doesn't work. But that's the concept that they have. And the idea is that they're really only seeking praise for themselves. Now, when you study the Word, watch that. When you're looking at the Word, you watch what God says about self-seeking, self-centered people. Because all they want is for themselves. Now, Paul and other people believe this. One writer said this, true humility means seeing ourselves as we really are from God's perspective and acting accordingly. See, God has a picture of you. We just have to go to Him and say, God, what do I really look like? Who am I really? They also have this teaching, he says, of these angels. He says, you've got to come to the angels before you come to God. You've got to be able to have this angel worship because when you worship these angels, then eventually you can get to God. Well, you've probably heard that before somewhere. I have. I could identify it to you today. I can talk to you all about it. If I went to Utah, I could clearly show it to you. You see, the idea is that if we don't know the Scriptures, we're going to be deceived. And God says, if you know the Scriptures, then you can recognize the things that He says that are not right, that you should not be a part of. You see, God said in His Word that nobody should receive worship but Him. In Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4, you shall have no other gods before me, He says. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and punishing the children for their sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousands of generations of those who love and keep my commandments. And then in Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, he says. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words to this scroll. Worship God. It is the Word of God that guides our faith and practice of how we worship the Almighty God. These false teachers, then and there are false teachers now, who are going to try their best to pull you away from the truth and lay away your faith. They're going to try to put some kind of a block in your faith, a stumbling block, so that you cannot be effective in your life. You cannot really serve God the way God wants you to. And if they can keep you aside through the legalism or through practicing all these things that they say you have to do, then they've won. You got to be aware of what's going on. You've got to be aware of the difference between Scripture and false teaching. Tim and I talked once. He had some folks come to his door. You know, like people do, they knock on the door and they like to come and give you a magazine. Well, Tim let them come a lot until they kind of enjoyed coming, and then he said, come on in, let's talk about this. I remember that, Tim. I thought that was wonderful because you helped them to understand the difference between what they thought was right and what Scripture said.
And they don't want to hear that, so they leave real quick. But the point is, if you do not know that, you'll be sucked in clearly. Let me tell you the difference between the Scriptures and false teaching. You will know when you study the Word of God yourself. Now, you may never remember anything I say from this pulpit, but I guarantee you, if you open the Word of God yourself and you study the Word of God yourself, you will remember that. You will open the Word and say to God, give me your wisdom and understanding of your Word. And you will know that for sure. Even if you sleep through every sermon. Don't do that though. But if you don't study on your own, you're going to be the one who is easily deceived. I promise you, if you do not have that in your heart and you're strong in the Word of God, every person I try to disciple, I talk to them about the Word of God. Make sure the Word of God is in your heart and you're learning from the Word of God. Because if you don't, those other words will come in and seek to strip you of wisdom and to take you away. Because there are people out there daily seeking to have you believe in the errors that they believe in and not the truth of the Scripture. I want to talk to you about number three. I know we're late, but we're going to go on anyway. So don't even think about it. So I shouldn't have ever said that. But let's do it anyway. It's short. Another hour. The third one is the blessing of grace in our life. Let me just tell you clearly. Don't let me lose you now. This is important. This is the greatest part of all of this. The blessing of grace. God's grace is so powerful that He lets us know how very great it is. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. Let me tell you, the good things that are coming is the blessing of grace in your life. What would we be without the unmerited favor of God? What would we be like if we did not have God's precious Holy Son that came down to touch our life and did it for free? We don't have to do a thing to earn God's love. The only thing we have to do is to accept it. That's it. I think legalism, on the other hand, is so popular because it's measurable. I can measure whether or not you're following what I want you to do. Okay? Because it's legal. You do this, this, and this. Okay? I did 3 out of 4 of them. Well, you need to do the other one. Or I can actually brag about doing all 4 of them because I did my job. There's a lot of things about legalism that causes us to understand that works can become very important to a person. We can brag about it, or we might very well be judged about it. The whole point is that you cannot live a life like that and measure up to Christ, because we can never measure up to Him. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus says through Paul. This is important. If you read the whole context of Ephesians 4, you will hear Paul say, as a part of it, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The rest of that is saying that those who are part of the church are called to equip you to become mature. If you're a Christian, and many of you in here are, your job is to become mature. You should have the fullness of Christ in your life. And you do that through the discipleship of coming to know Jesus through the words that Jesus gave to us and through the writers of the New Testament. And God has told us that discipleship helps you to become more like Jesus every day. And it's not through anything anybody does. It's the power of Jesus in you by the Holy Spirit. It is important that we hear that. Now, Paul says some harsh words and clearly describes the characters of these false teachers. In verses 22 through 23,
These are harsh words, but listen to them. It's important. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have come from appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value of restraining sensual indulgence. In that culture, there was a lot of sensual indulgence. They thought that that was perfectly fine because the spirit is the only thing that's important, not the body. They try to convince people. Now, you don't have anybody to convince you that it's okay to live free and easy in this world, do you? And that the body is fine. You can do everything you want. Do whatever you want during the week and then come, and on Sunday you can worship the Lord. That's false. That's a lie from the devil. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to perish, listen, if you want to perish, then follow the advice of false teachers. Follow the advice of man, because it lacks wisdom from God, but it surely shares foolishness of man. Let the world and all that it has for us today be dead to us who are Christians. Many of you here today say, what does this have to do with us? Well, I'm going to tell you what it has to do with us. I think it's a warning for all of us to be cautious about what we hear, what we see from well-meaning people. I'm telling you, it comes across the television, it comes across friends. It's well-meaning people who have a good sound to them, but it is false teaching straight from the pit of hell. And God is saying to us, you need to not swallow it hook, line, and sinker, because you will then find trouble at the end of that line. This is my last admonition. Listen, with all discernment that you have in the Holy Spirit in your heart, have you really tried to listen to the truth of the Holy Spirit as He reveals what you believe about the Bible and what it says about marriage? It's a very great debate today. Have you heard what the Word of God says about marriage? Have you gone to the Word to listen to the preaching and listen to the Word of God when it talks about the biblical marriage between one man and one woman? And nothing else? No other alternative? If you have another thought or philosophy about it, then you better get in the Word and find out what Jesus says. Having heard what the Bible says, listen carefully. Having heard what the Bible says, can you still support people who believe differently than the Word of God? Can you still support politicians who follow godless philosophies and man-made teachings, and how out of their mouths spew opinions that are godless? Can you support people like that? Can you even support people who do not want God in our nation, God in our public arena, God in our schools, the name of Jesus not even be mentioned in the military? Can you support people like that? If you do, think carefully about what the Word of God says. Get your guidance from the Word of God, because I will guarantee you there's not one thing in the Word of God that would allow you to believe or to support somebody that wants God out of the lives of everybody except here in church. It's okay to talk about God here, but don't you do it out there. Don't you do it at school. Don't you do it at work. Don't you do it anywhere. And particularly don't talk about Jesus. If you support people like that, please go back to the Word. Please read what God says, because I believe that's a lie and a false doctrine from the pit of hell. Now, some say, preacher, you're meddling. And I am. I'm preaching the Word. and the word metals.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if you can support people who do not believe the Bible and who do not believe that Christianity is directly from God, and those who want to eliminate everything that God says from the public arena, then I believe you need to think again. Because those are the same people who says it's perfectly okay to abort a baby all the way up to birth, and then after birth, it's okay to kill a few of them if it's inconvenient for the mother. And let me tell you what, you say, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Yes, it is true. If you read the right material, you read the correct information, you will find out that some people believe that the baby is not a baby until you take him home, and that if he is born and it's inconvenient to the mother, that they can still kill that child. That is the truth. And there are people who preach that, who teach that, who allow that to happen, who believe in that, and who follow that on a regular basis. Today I read an article about Dabo Swinney, who has been condemned because he wants to go to the Palmetto Fellowship here in South Carolina and receive an award. And the people who believe in abortion and people who believe in gay marriage say, no, you should not do that. You're a public servant. You can't go there because they don't believe the way we do. I'm going to tell you, people are going to call you into account for what you believe. And it may be sooner than later. And you better stand on the Word of God, because God's Word says you better be against that which the Bible says is wrong. And if we support people like that with our vote and with our understanding and with our compassion, then we've got to go back to the Word to be able to say, Lord, give us wisdom. Because the grace of God helps us to understand the truth that God has given to us. And let me say this as I close. The grace of God is what changes a heart from a lost person to a saved person. And there are some lost people here. In God's Word, in 1 John chapter 1 through the second chapter, there are some very special stuff that God says. You got to hear this. I'm going to close, but here's what it's for. The lost person can come to know Christ, and the saved person can get their heart right. Because when we're following false religions, when we're following false teaching, when we're not reading the Scripture, not understanding the Scripture, then God is calling us into account. Now, when I finish reading the Scripture, I'm going to pray. And God is saying, if this is what you've done, if this is what you believe, and you better do some business with me. Because I'm ready to reconcile you to the truth. But I'm also ready to judge what is truth in your life. Let me read this. 1 John 1, 5 through chapter 2, 2. This is the message. We have heard from Him and declared to you, God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Listen, but if anybody sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but
also for the sins of the whole world. Father, thank you that we can come to you and know the truth, and that you will set us free by your blood. Help the Christian to respond, and help the lost man to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.